Welcome to Roguecast, the official podcast of Rogues Gallery. We'll talk comics for the week, as well as whatever news is on our pop cultural radar. I'm Randy.
I'm Nick.
This is Dave.
And now, on with the show. Episode 356 of the Roguecast, recorded November 16th, 2021. I didn't carry the two, and now Superman is back. All right, just time for a quick run of the week.
It's a modified format for us. We were going to cut out all the segments except for comics this week, because we're on a kind of a tight schedule.
Right.
But it's such a good week for comics that we wanted to make sure we did it.
Yes, I am rushing up to Dallas for BGGCon to play probably somewhere between 20 and 30 board games.
In That's 4 or 5 Board Game days. Geek Con, for those of you not in the know.
And
Randy's trying to sound all cool. BGGCon.
You know me and my BGG peeps.
I assure you, Nick, being a board gamer is not cool.
I don't know.
I think it's very cool, baby.
It's kind of like that IT crowd. Is this Dungeons & Dragons? Is this a sex thing? Far from it, Jen.
So are we just going to dive in on this week's books?
So, yes, we're going to talk. We're talking comics for the week of Wednesday, November 17th. And the reason we want to talk about stuff, it is Tom Taylor Tuesday.
It is. It's back. It's actually back every month.
Yes.
But this is a particularly notable one. He's got one story that's in news headlines and has been for the last couple weeks.
Yep, bigger.
And then just a bunch of other good stuff.
Yeah, there's some other good stuff as well.
But why don't we start with the newsworthy one?
Let's start with Superman, Son of Kal-El, number 5, which, if y'all have been listening, you know that we have dug the hell out of this book.
Yeah, we've been supporting it since day one. It had a unique voice, Jonathan Kent, getting ready to fill his dad's shoes, and he's doing it in a very different way. His dad, Clark has been in there a fair amount and has been an awesome supportive dad, but we know that he's going to...
It was foretold as sort of
a prophecy from the Legion times or whatever, that he will disappear and Jonathan will have to assume the mantle.
The weird thing, I'm not quite sure they're going to write their way out of this.
How do you bring him back?
He's it says you disappeared and you never came back. And I'm guess they were wrong?
Oh, man, Grant Morrison could write you out of that in about 5 seconds.
Well, they've already shown what happens to him, right? Because that was all the Future State stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That was him going to the Mongol's planet where he was shirtless and stuff. Zardoz style.
I have to go to the other planet and be shirtless. Goodbye, Lois.
Oh, I see.
But also, I think they could, it could be anything from that was, a crossover thing of another universe's Superman, and this one will be able to return. He can bend, he is Superman, and Morrison would have him bend reality to be able to return one day.
That's true.
But I think they are going to want to let the kid take his shot.
I think he's just going to say one sentence, Saturn Girl was wrong.
Yeah.
Did you double check your numbers, Saturn Girl?
Oh.
No. I didn't carry the two.
I didn't carry the two, and now Superman's back.
So the big thing, though, and the reason that the people are talking is just that the character is coming out as bisexual.
Yes.
This has kind of been, you could read between the lines and have caught it several issues ago.
Someone in our group did.
All right, it was Randy.
Yay! Randy
you,
was right.
You get the Gaydar Prize.
What is the Gaydar Prize?
It's a very colorful ribbon.
Oh, I like that.
Anyway, there's, I guess, obviously it's a great issue. Tom Taylor is unveiling it. I think that one of them, maybe the best way you could, as just something that happens to the character.
Yeah.
He doesn't suddenly, it's not even some switch flipped or something like that.
No, no.
He's just dating a dude now.
Well, it's the thing, it's basically, it's someone he's being close to and they kiss at a moment. It's it is not presented as this big gay thing, it's not a big coming out thing, it's just it's the thing.
It's another aspect of this issue that sees him, the repercussions of an attack on Henry Bendix.
Yeah, most of this issue is about him being Superman and being overcharged with power and doing what Superman would do with that. And I think that's really cool.
We've seen this kind of thing before, but I thought this was a really cool sort of day in the life of, but where his powers are supercharged. The world is very dangerous. If he overreacts, he could hurt somebody, and his powers are at such high levels that that's very easy to do. So he's having to be very cautious, but he is also trying to do everything he can with all that power while he's got it.
Which is also the bit of him being able to supercharge so he can hear all the cries for help, calls to one of the best Superman stories, which is Kurt Busiek's Samaritan stories in Astro City.
Yeah, absolutely, about being overwhelmed by it. And there's a very the sweet underpinnings, the romantic thing, is that when he starts to crash, there is someone who is there for him.
Yeah.
And this is his new boyfriend, or quite possibly boyfriend. We'll see.
And also his new friends from Tom Taylor's run on Suicide Squad.
That's right.
Yeah. Erie and what's the other one's name?
Oh, I forget. But yeah.
Are they all, were they, I can't remember if they were primarily Australian since it kind of had its, some other
things. No, they were everywhere.
They were everywhere, yeah.
I couldn't remember. Well, Tom Taylor himself is Australian.
The area is from Gomorrah. That's right, yeah. Isn't that, so that's why, which is the island that Henry Bendix is running.
That's right.
So, yeah, I really dug this. Also, I like the new character. I like that he has the, like, phasing powers that Kitty Pryde has.
Yep. He's not overly intimidated by Jonathan. If anything, he's more intimidated by Lois Lane, which is probably the way it should be.
Yeah.
The art was super good in this issue too. Tom Taylor seems to work with a lot of good artists, and I also love the art on Nightwing this week too, which is his other book.
Well, that's a good
one of his
let's,
other.
Let's talk about Nightwing.
Isn't Chris John Timms? Where do we know him from?
I don't remember.
Yeah, it's new-ish to me.
He wasn't working on Harley Quinn, right? That's not...
No, that's Riley Rossmo. John Timms...
No, that was the previous run.
Was a... Oh, the previous run. I don't know. John Timms did work on Harley Quinn. Yes, worked on...
Okay.
Issues like 20 to... Well, a handful of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like Timms worked on some Harley Quinn... A fair amount of Harley Quinn stuff.
Yeah, I knew and he then worked with the...
Did Bendis' Young Justice...
Oh, that's right.
That was the big thing.
He's got a little bit of a like slight exaggeration, a good youthful vibe to all the stuff he draws. Yeah, obviously a good fit.
Also, some great covers this time out.
Yeah,
the Lee and Yuk is really really good.
Them chilling on the mm-hmm. rooftop. Yep.
But speaking of Nightwing, as we were. Yep. Nightwing, this is the end of the Fear State, which has the guest art by Robert Rodriguez, which I came around on. I like. I still miss Bruno Redondo. I'll be glad when Redondo is back.
Yeah, I really like Robbie Rodriguez.
He does good stuff.
Mm-hmm. And this is kind of one. I feel like this is one where the heroes take the fight to the bad guys in a badass way.
Yeah, it's a great team up. It's Batgirl and, well, it's all the Batgirls and all the Robins. Well, not all the Robins. It's Robin and Nightwing and the Batgirls.
And they are, the big guy, what's his,
Simon Saint.
Simon Saint, who's kind of got Gotham under this kind of fascist lockdown with a lot of high-tech guards and his big kind of floating platform.
Yep.
They're like, let's go to the platform.
Yeah, basically they take him down and Batman, which in the end of Fear State, which is wrapped this week in the Batman issue, is basically Batman and Miracle Molly taking down Scarecrow's part of it.
Oh, cool.
Like Batman isn't involved in taking down Simon Saint. That is all in Nightwing.
Yeah, I like that such big stuff was going down in here. I felt like every character was getting, like, a badass moment.
Well, this is also about Oracle's war with Seer, which is...
Right.
This also has... Yeah, Seer,
anti-Oracle.
We finally meet Seer, and I really like the look.
Yeah, it's cool.
There is another great Tom Taylor line in here where they basically have to steal some gear from the Peacekeeper forces, and... Tim's like, traditionally we spend our time stopping people from doing this exact thing. And Nightwing says, think of this as a light mugging for the greater good.
Yeah. I kind of like the new anti-authoritarianism that's going on.
Yeah.
Which honestly has always been there. And I know that, like, even back in the 80s, Frank Miller, even though he had these fashy vibes sometimes, he very directly had Batman opposed to police and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He wanted to return to the outlaw Batman, and I kind of like a little more outlaw in my Batman, I think.
And then, before we talk about the end of Fear State, let's talk about Tom Taylor's other book, which is Dark Ages. I know, Dave, you did not get a chance to read this one yet.
Not yet. That's his other, but I've been enjoying it. It's his other alternate sort of history, an alternate future for the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, and this feels of a piece with what he did with Injustice and Deceased. Yeah. It's like setting up a world and doing his world building. And
he gets to play with all the characters in the sandbox as we see this world where technology has basically been wrecked. An Earth where the heroes and stuff sort of have to rebuild the whole planet.
And there's some great stuff, especially with Quicksilver and Human Torch in this issue.
Not characters I would have expected.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've particularly seen him write either of those people.
And he's setting this up as basically a battle between Apocalypse's forces, which are trying to basically bring back technology and rule the world, and these sort of more utopian forces that are led by, weirdly, Dr. Doom and Sue Storm. And it's an interesting mix of characters.
Say this, Dr. Doom has always had a vision.
Yep.
He, I imagine that for any given thing, he's like, I have an idea about how I could rule over this mess.
He writes, by the way, one of the more dangerous Quicksilvers I've ever seen.
Interesting.
He uses Quicksilver as kind of like the Flash level super fast.
Yeah, I wonder if, sometimes it's interesting to see somebody who's like, why not try and make this character, you know, a little more interesting or more potent or whatever.
Yeah. But to jump back over to Fear State, Batman 117 is the wrap of it. It has this artist who I've been really liking, Jorge Jimenez.
Uh-huh.
There's some great stuff. This opening shot of the Nightwing crew coming in in their stolen battle armor.
That's cool.
This fiery backdrop is a really great shot.
Yep. I love the bit in the Nightwing issue where they're like, helmets off, people. And they're like, why are we taking our helmets off? And they're like, so we know who not to punch,
but there's
basically
also kind of a big Poison Ivy Harley Quinn moment.
Wow.
There's a Batman and Miracle Molly, who they really did some interesting stuff with the Unsandy Collective. They're sort of anarchist characters who they present as good guys, talking about that anti-authoritarian streak.
Yep. Well, it used to be that basically any time Anarchy, the Batman villain, showed up, he was kind of always like, I have some good ideas, but I'm going to bomb people and kill innocents to do it.
Yeah.
And the Unsanity Collective is like a, you know what, there might be some anarchists who are not quite so not so terrorist-y. Well, and they kind of provided a more nuanced spin.
Well, what's interesting is that Scarecrow's whole plan here involved this mind control machine that was built by the Unsanity Collective.
Yep.
And in this one, Miracle Molly is basically rewiring it, and she's sort of given the choice of like, well, do I use this to rewire all of Gotham and, like, take away their trauma and basically try to fix people? And there's a great thing with Batman basically telling her, like, hey, have faith in people. And there's a little bit of... Batman is so often the, like...
authoritarian?
The authoritarian in the Dark Knight, that basically him being the, hey, let's have some hope...
Yeah.
Was a really interesting... I really liked that.
That's cool.
I like what Tinian did here, and I think this is Tinian's last issue on Batman. But it's a good...
It feels like a good send-off.
Yeah. His run, I think... Tom King's kind of got cut short, and then he went off to do some weird Batman Catwoman stuff, unfortunately.
Yep.
Which is, I mean, not that Batman Catwoman, I'm not reading it, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's very different than I think he was going to go with his ending. Tinian's feels like this is what he wanted to do, and he did an ending.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Who's taken over?
There's going to be a 4-issue run by Joshua Williamson.
Okay.
Introducing a new villain and doing international stuff, and then we don't know who's picking up after that.
Okay. It's me. It's me, guys.
Dave's doing it.
This is a good time to tell you I'm writing Batman.
Dave's time.
And I'm taking it back to the 60s, baby.
There's a lot of UFOs.
Yeah, Batmite, UFOs, puns.
Hairy-chested love god.
Spaceship. Now, that's the 70s, a little bit more, I think.
That would be my... where I'd take it.
More Adam West vibe.
I'll tell you what I would do. Return Joe Potato P.I.
Wow. We got us an Alan Grant fan here, Dr. Grant.
All ventriloquist all the time. There's a Fantastic Four 60th anniversary tribute, which is another one of these things where basically they do the first issue of the FF and then the issue with the wedding, which is issue annual number 3. But every page is done by a different artist. So
right, it's like Stan Lee's script from the 60s, new art.
And there's a bunch of people, David Lapham, Salvador La Roca, Greg Land... Just looking through, Neil Adams is in here. More like John Romita Jr., Walter Simonson.
It's a really kind of fun way to tribute that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of a neat thing if you are a fan of the FF or just kind of want a cool book. This is a good way to get an art book without just getting an art book. Like, there's actually a story in there.
That's true.
There is a new book from DC called Robins.
Yep.
Which
is by Tim Seeley, who wrote the Grayson book with Tom King.
Yep.
Many years ago.
And in this, there is a... someone is gunning for the Robins, and they have all...
That is to say, all the Robins from Batman are represented in this, right?
They all team up to talk about being Robin, and it includes not just the ones you think of, like, it's got Damian and Dick, but also Steph Brown is in here. She was also Robin.
I thought I've only read a little bit, but I thought the opening sequence where you kind of see little spotlight moments on all of them
how
as they take on some bad guys. And you see how they each operate differently. How Red Hood is the scary guy. Spoiler, you kind of, if you don't know her deal, you're like, oh, right, she is the daughter of a supervillain, and that's a big part of her backstory and all this stuff.
I liked it, too. And I think that there's some interesting stuff in here. Like, there's some interesting... I like the art, too. I thought the art was really good. Rebus.
I feel like it wasn't an artist I didn't know, but I dug it.
Yeah, Rebus is the last thing. I'm looking for the credits because it's at the very end, apparently. Baltimore Rebus.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, it's if you've been digging Nightwing, this is very different.
Right.
But if you like the sort of Robins teaming up, it's pretty fun.
You know, I think all of us would agree Batman, kind of in general, what you'd call overexposed.
Yeah.
But, man, the Bat family of books has been cooking in the last year.
Doesn't this also have a...
Batman, Joker, Nightwing, Robins now, all this stuff.
Doesn't this also have, like, a sexy Dick Grayson cover?
Yeah, Babstar is doing the variant covers, which a customer came in yesterday. She was desperate to find what she called the thirst trap. Cover.
Yes, that's what we're calling.
And I was like, it's not out till tomorrow. But yes, he's it looks like he just did a workout session and he just sat down all sweaty.
Yeah.
anyway.
It's a little sad there's no butt shot, but you know.
We talked about this while we were doing the comics poll, and I felt like, you know how Gail Simone does those goofy polls, like, are Cyclops' beams hot or are they force beams?
They're obviously force beams.
But, yes, but I've been joining in on the heat beam thing just because I'm enjoying the trolling.
I think that's reasonable, and you can find panels to justify it.
Yes.
Anyway, I think Gail Simone needs a Nightwing crotch zone or Nightwing butt zone. Choose your poison.
Right, we were thinking that Nightwing's front hasn't gotten enough attention, and Babstar is trying to equalize that.
Yeah.
Well, I can see it.
He's not just his butt. Yeah. He's also his dick.
That's right. He's a piece of meat, Nick.
Jesus.
Sure.
No, but Babstar did do a very good cover.
Yeah.
There's like, there are so many just umpteen bazillion sexy women covers that it's good to get some good.
I assume each one is just
thirsty dudes out there.
Either going to be Dick Grayson or Jason Todd, right? Because you can't really do Tim.
This is what we discussed. Like, you can do
actually
Tim.
Tim is like a, like older teens or whatever, or okay. Even 20s.
Okay,
Damien's a little.
Damien's off the no.
He's in a sexy diaper.
You know what you can do with Damien? you know, in Lost Boys, when Corey whoever is like taking a bath and like vampire stuff happens, a cute thing where he's doing that.
Yes.
That's it. Yep. Don't go any farther. Make it cute. And then a vampire attacks him. His own brother.
So there was a couple things from last week because we did get our other comics a little late last week.
Yeah.
So we didn't talk about these in the podcast, but there's a new book from Boom called Regarding the Matter of Oswald's Body that I didn't get a chance to read. I believe it is a sort of crime conspiracy thing, but it's about Lee Harvey Oswald's body.
That's written. It's written by Christopher Cantwell, who, when I was looking up a little on this, he's a Dallas native. So he's. I think he's always had a little bit of the JFK conspiracy fascination.
Also, the art by Luca Casalaguida.
Yeah, really good.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, like super A-list, like the kind of thing I thought would see that, like with somebody like Brubaker, don't you think?
Yeah, like, it feels very kind of Sean Phillips or what's his son's name?
Other Phillips.
Jacob Phillips. Very much in that.
I saw him, when I was reading a little bit about it, they mentioned like a heist vibe kind of, and I think it's going to intercut between the present and the 60s. But anyway, if you've got any fascination with JFK craziness, or just want to read sort of like an offbeat kind of crimey, heisty book, recommended probably.
This looks really cool.
Speaking of another crime book, this is a big anticipated one. What's the Furthest Place from Here?
One of those long title comics.
Tyler Boss and Matthew Rosenberg. Tyler Boss is the artist, Rosenberg's the writer. And this is a crime book. I, again, have not had time to read it.
It's sort of a post-apocalyptic crime book where the youths of the world are sort of banding together in, like, gangs a la the Warriors in a lot of ways.
I think I heard that this is a post-apocalyptic world where, like, an asteroid hit or something.
It doesn't mention that. It's actually kind of, the first issue is kind of vague as to, like, the world-building itself.
The solicit, I think, said something like, you know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, the giant rock from the sky laid the earth low. So I think it's something like that.
Yeah, this one is all about sort of one kind of group of individuals who sort of base their identities on, like, their favorite music track.
Oh.
Which is pretty cool. Hence, I know that one of the versions came with an LP.
They tried to do a 7-inch record. It was kind of a fiasco with production quality. Yeah, it's really hard to produce anything right now. But they are doing a second printing that comes with the record, so we'll see what happens with that.
But it was a good first issue. I actually really enjoyed the artwork.
It's on my list to check out. I didn't get a chance to read it this week. As with Regarding the Matter, I just didn't have time.
Yeah.
There is, this week, TMNT Last Run and Design Archive.
Thought it was the last issue of Last Run. It's not.
It's kind of the DVD extras that they put out before the final issue comes out. It's
Isn't that like a lot of artwork by Eastman?
There's a ton of character designs. There's a breakdown of Mike's gear, which is pretty cool.
It's cool. You said it's got like his original art from like the 80s when this was an idea that was percolating.
There's a map of the post-apocalyptic setting, there in Manhattan.
That's cool.
And yes, then there's like in the toward the back, they have some of his original... Because this was a thing they were going to do a long, long time ago. And it's got some like basically layout pages of what it was going to look like.
That's so bonkers.
Early on. And then they show comparisons like what they wound up doing this time. It's really interesting.
And I'm sure we talked about this, but like one of the big influences of the era had to simply be Frank Miller's Ronin.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. With its cyberpunk future.
So that is pretty cool. This is a numbering scheme that I hate. Amazing Spider-Man is doing 78.bay.
Yeah.
B-E-Y, which is 78.beyond.
Right, you've probably seen that when they've done this before with Spider-Man, I think, in particular, where they'll have all the regular issues coming out, but they'll have, like, there'll be issue 37, but it'll also be 37 and, a three-letter code that just means it's like a side thing that ties into the main story, but they're kind of notable, right?
So the thing is, they're doing it as a side story, and this should have just been, like, a side miniseries, but this one is focusing in on Misty Knight and Colleen Wing and their own, like, solo adventure.
Because it's Ben Reilly in Spider-Man right now. He's actually taken back over from Peter Parker.
And they've been training him for the Beyond Corporation. Yeah. And basically, this is them going on a mission for the corporation, loaded down with Beyond weapon gear, which is all experimental, and being badasses. And it's written by Jed McKay, who did this great Daughters of the Dragon series called Deep Cuts with Travel Foreman that was sort of fun and anarchic. Yeah. And this is... basically his like unofficial sequel to it.
That's cool.
It's super fun. He's got the chemistry of the characters down perfect. I would actually really recommend this one. Even if you're not reading Spider-Man,
you could kind of like read the side stuff.
This is the thing that I would read. I definitely recommend it.
I have a question.
Yes.
As someone who did not read the Clone Saga in the 90s and doesn't know a ton about Ben Reilly, if you were to just kind of quick sum him up, what's his personality like these
Peter
days?
Peter Parker.
No, he's a little more of an edgy Peter Parker now. Because he was a bad guy during the
I try to forget that because it's stupid.
But that's what he is. He's basically a Peter Parker seeking redemption kind of guy.
Yeah. Okay, that's kind
not
of the vibe I got he
Kane.
Was in the 90s.
Yeah. But he's basically a guy who doesn't have all of Peter's experience, but he's got some of his memories.
Right.
And it's he's sort of trying to live up to the Spider-Man legacy, which is, in a way, his legacy because he was Peter Parker until... he went to a clone vat or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't ask too many questions.
All right,
but that's good. I just wanted to like a kind of a gist of what y'all thought of him.
The finale of Shang-Chi's first story arc finds him with the Avengers are coming for a cosmic cube that I think his organization stole, and so Shang-Chi has to face off with Thor.
You know, Randy, this is sort of related to this. This is a good time for Shang-Chi, obviously. The stuff started hitting Disney Plus.
Yep.
And I have been like, although it was going over well before, I feel like just kind of watching my friends catch it on Facebook and stuff like that and social media, that it is going over even better than I thought it had, better now, and I think it's destined to become one of these actually really quite very well liked.
I think it's a great movie.
Yeah, people seeing it later, at late seem to be enjoying it more. I enjoyed it more on rewatch, which I just rewatched it. So, Moon Knight has a big reveal in it about the villain who's been throwing people at him. He also fights chains.
Yep. That's a cool cover, though.
It is a cool cover.
It's weird, but it's cool.
Moon Knight's growing, man. I wasn't, like, super in love with it, but I actually am really enjoying it as it goes along. Nice House in the Link reaches its midpoint.
Okay.
And it's really, really good.
Oh, it is a it is finite. 12 issue miniseries. It's got a thing coming up. Yeah. Okay.
And Jeff Lemire and Andrea Sorrentino's Primordial, sort of weird sci-fi, continues to get weirder and weirder.
Cool. I need to catch up on that because I like all the Jeff Lemire projects lately.
The second issue I really enjoyed it.
That was, is this issue two or three?
Three. Three.
Yeah, the second issue was like kind of trippy bonkers.
It was all about Laika, the Russian space dog.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a trade for Shadecraft, which is the creators of Skyward. I really like this book.
Yeah.
I was kind of bummed that it was cut short. They may go back to it, but it was cut short by sort of pandemic stuff. But it's a good self-contained story that I highly recommend. And there's two really nice hardcovers from Boom this week. One is Once in Future, which I think has the first three trades of that.
Yeah, Boom books usually do that.
And then the other is Something is Killing the Children, Volume 1 hardcover.
Which has the first three volumes.
Which is it's a massive hardcover. It's very cool looking. It has a great cover.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to digging into those. If you've been holding out, those are great.
Yeah, Something is Killing the Children has been like a big phenomenon here at our store and generally nationwide. With whenever we can't get the first volume of it in, people are desperate for it, yeah. and I wish we could get. Always wish we could get it. But here's another format, and I recommend getting it while it's hot.
Right now, we do have Volume 1.
Yeah, that is the good thing.
We just don't have Volume 2.
I'll also say, if you have a person who really enjoys horror comics and you're looking for something for Christmas, this hardcover is going to go fast.
Yeah.
And I would definitely recommend picking it up. Yeah,
we didn't get our full order. I mean, that's the thing. The Boom tends to underprint, and we didn't get our full order, so it's going to go. But yeah, definitely worth a look. Anything else? Did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
All right. Yeah.
It is a big week with a lot of fun stuff. Like, I think it's a good week to just kind of browse the wall.
Oh, the second issue of Legends Black Panther, which I didn't get a chance to read, but I really loved the first issue, so I'm excited to see where they go with the second one.
Oh, and there's a new Volt book. The Radio Apocalypse?
Oh, yeah, Radio Apocalypse.
Is notable because it's Rom V.
It's Rom V, yeah.
Who is doing...
Tons of DC work.
Tons of DC work, yeah.
Is he nice about artwork. What did he launch with somebody Venom. And he's about to, take over on Venom?
He's running Venom really nice artwork. Valuing.
Oh, that is nice.
And Volt always has nice art, so...
What is that called? Radio Apocalypse? I believe it is about sort of like the last radio station after an apocalypse.
A lot of apocalypses.
Yeah.
Is that Apocalypse? Apocalypse?
But I think now they're moving away from like, she's the chosen one who will overthrow the bad guys or whatever, and to these kind of quirkier personal stories. I think it's kind of a neat evolution.
Yeah. Oh, this is cool. I'm just flipping through this Black Panther, and it, I guess, it touches on his first meeting with Aurora.
Oh, nice.
That makes sense.
That's cool.
So, there's a lot of news that we didn't get to this week, all the Disney stuff, which we'll hit up next week.
And I think we'll probably talk about some movies and things,
too. We'll probably talk about Shang-Chi. Dave saw French Dispatch, and Nick and I are both jealous.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have time.
Well, I also know it's coming on VOD, I think, the first or second week of December.
So we may hold out until that, because I definitely want to see it.
Ironically, I am the least Wes Anderson fan here.
I know.
I mostly skip his stuff, but...
I don't think you've seen anything since Rushmore, right?
That's true. I've seen bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't seen Grand Hotel?
Nope.
I think it's my favorite thing.
I that's one that I've often heard recommended, and spoiler warning, I liked The French Dispatch, and so I will probably try and catch that, or Royal Tenenbaums, or some of the other ones that I've heard maybe most often mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that is it for us this week. We will be back next week with more. Until that time,
Yo, Joe!
Roguecast is a weekly podcast broadcast from Rogues Gallery Comics and Games in Round Rock, Texas. You can find us online on Facebook and at www.roguesgallerytx.com and email us comments or questions at roguesgallerytx@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.